A Clockwork Orange, Disc 3.
Six. Just past the Duke of New York going east was offices, and then there was the starry beat-up biblio, and then was the Bolshy flat block called Victoria flat block, after some victory or other, and then you came to the, like, starry-type houses of the town in what was called Old Town. You got some of the real horror show ancient domies here, my brothers, with starry ludies living in them, thin old barking like colonels with sticks and old petitsas who were widows and deaf starry damas with cats who, my brothers, had felt not the touch of any Chelovic in the whole of their pure like jisneys. And here, true, there were starry veshes that would fetch their share of cutter on the tourist market, like pictures and jewels and other starry pre-plastic cal of that type. So we came nice and quiet to this domey called The Manse, and there were globe lights outside on iron stalks, like guarding the front door on each side. And there was a light, like, dim on in one of the rooms on the ground level, and we went to a nice patch of street, dark, to watch through the window what was ittying on. This window had iron bars in front of it, like the house was a prison, but we could viddy nice and clear what was ittying on. What was ittying on was that this starry petitza, very grey in the volos and with a very liney like litzo, was pouring the old maloko from a milk bottle into saucers and then setting these saucers down on the floor so you could tell there were plenty of mewing cots and koshkas writhing about down there. And we could viddy one or two great fat skatinas jumping up onto the table with their rots open going, "Mwah! Mwah! Mwah!" And you could viddy this old babushka talking back to them, gavaritting in like scoldy language to her pussies. In the room, you could viddy a lot of old pictures on the walls and starry, very elaborate clocks. Also some like vases and ornaments that looked starry and dorogoy. Georgie whispered, "Real horror show thing to be gotten for them, brothers. Will the English is real anxious." Pete said, "How in?" Now it was up to me, and scurry before Georgie started telling us how. "First vesh," I whispered, "is to try the regular way, the front. I will go very polite and say that one of my droogs has had a, like, funny fainting turn on the street. Georgie can be ready to show when she opens that wise. Then to ask for water or to phone the doc. Then in easy." Georgie said, "She may not open." I said, "Well, try it, yes?" And he sort of shrugged his plechos, making with a frog's rot. So I said to Pete and old Dim, "You two droogies get either side of the door, right?" They nodded in the dark, "Right, right, right." So I said to Georgie, and I made bold straight for the front door. There was a bell push, and I pushed, and brrrr, sounded down the hall inside. A like sense of slooshing followed, as though the petitsa and her koshkas all had their ears back at the brrr, brrr, wondering. So I pushed the old zovanok a malenki bit more urgent. I then bent down to the letter slit and called through in a refined like gloss, "Help, madam, please, my friend has just had a funny turn on the street. Let me phone a doctor, please." Then I could viddy a light being put on in the hall, and then I could hear the old babushka's nogas going flip-flap in flip-flap slippers to nearer the front door, and I got the idea, I don't know why, that she had a big, fat pussycat under each arm. And then she called out in a very surprising, deep-like gloss, "Go away! Go away or I shoot!" Georgie heard that and wanted to giggle. I said with light suffering and urgency in my gentleman's galosse. "Oh, please help, madam. My friend's very ill." "Go away," she called. "I know your dirty tricks, making me open the door and then buy things I don't want. Go away, I tell you." That was real lovely innocence, that was. "Go away," she said again, "or I'll set my cats on you." A malenky bit bazoomy she was, you could tell that, through spending her jeezney all on her oddy knocky. Then I looked up and I vidded that there was a sash window above the front door and that it would be a lot more scorry to just do the old plecho climb and get in that way. Else there'd be this argument all the long notchy. So I said, "Very well, madam, if you won't help, I must take my suffering friend elsewhere." And I winked my droogies all away quiet, only me crying out, "All right, old friend, you will surely meet some good Samaritan someplace other. This old lady perhaps cannot be blamed for being suspicious with so many scoundrels and rogues of the night about. No, indeed not." Then we waited again in the dark, and I whispered, "Right, return to the door, me stand on Dim's plechos, open that window and me enter droogies. Then to shut up that old petitza and open up for all, no trouble." For I was like showing who was leader and the chelovec with the ideas. "See," I said, "real horror show bit of stonework over that door, a nice hold for my nogas." They vidded all that, admiring perhaps, I thought, and said and nodded, "Right, right, right," in the dark. So, back, tiptoe to the door. Dim was our heavy, strong Malchick, and Pete and Georgie like heaved me up onto Dim's bolshy, manly plechos. All this time, oh, thanks to worldcasts on the Gloopy TV and more Ludi's night fear through lack of night police, dead lay the street. Up there on Dim's plechos, I vidded that this stonework above the door would take my boots lovely. I kneed up, brothers, and there I was. The window, as I had expected, was closed, but I outed with my Britfa and cracked the glass of the window smart with the bony handle thereof. All the time below, my droogies were hard breathing. So I put in my rooker through the crack and made the lower half of the window sail up, open, silver smooth and lovely. And I was like getting into the bath inn. And there were my sheep down below, their rots open as they looked up, oh brothers. I was in bumpy darkness with beds and cupboards and bolshy heavy stoolies and piles of boxes and books about, but I strode manfully towards the door of the room I was in, seeing a like crack of light under it. The door went squeak, and then I was on a dusty corridor with other doors. All this waste, brothers, meaning all these rooms, and but one starry sharp and her pussies. But perhaps the cots and koshkas had, like, separate bedrooms, living on cream and fish heads, like royal queens and princes. I could hear the, like, muffled galosse of this old petitza down below saying, "Yes, yes, yes, that's it." But she would be gover-eating to these mewing sidlers, going, "Mah!" for more maloko. Then I saw the stairs going down to the hall, and I thought to myself that I would show these fickle and worthless droogs of mine that I was worth the whole three of them and more. I would do all on my oddy knocky. I would perform the old ultra-violence on the starry petitza and on her puss-pots if need be. Then I would take fair rookerfuls of what looked like real Polesny stuff and go waltzing to the front door and open up, showering gold and silver on my waiting droogs. They must learn all about leadership. So down I ittied, slow and gentle, admiring in the stairwell Grazny pictures of old time, devotchkas with long hair and high collars, the like country with trees and horses, the holy bearded Vec all Nadjoy hanging on a cross. There was a real musty von of pussies and pussy fish and starry dust in this domey, different from the flat blocks. And then I was downstairs and I could vidy the light in this front room where she'd been doling maloko to the cots and koshkas. More, I could vidy these great overstuffed scatenas going in and out with their tails waving and like rubbing themselves on the door bottom. On a like big wooden chest in the dark hall, I could vidy a nice Malenki statue that shone in the light of the room. So I crested this for my own self, it being like of a young thinned Votchka standing on one noga with her rookers out, and I could see this was made of silver. So I had this when I itted into the lit-up room, saying, "Hi, hi, hi! At last we meet. Our brief govereet through the letter hole was not, shall we say, satisfactory, yes? Let us admit not, oh verily not, you stinking, starry old sharp." And I like blinked in the light at this room and the old petitza in it. It was full of cots and koshkas all crawling to and fro over the carpet, with bits of fur floating in the lower air. And these fat scatinas were all different shapes and colours, black, white, tabby, ginger, tortoise shell, and of all ages too. So there were kittens fillying about with each other, and there were pussies full grown, and there were real dribbling, starry ones, very bad tempered. Their mistress, this old petitza, looked at me fierce like a man and said, "How did you get in? Keep your distance, you villainous young toad, or I shall be forced to strike you." I had a real horror show smeck at that, vidying that she had in her veiny rooker a crappy wood walking stick which she raised at me threatening. So, making with my shiny zoobies, I itted a bit nearer to her, taking my time, and on the way I saw on a like sideboard a lovely little vesh, the loveliest Malenki vesh any Malchik fond of music like myself could ever hope to vidy with his own two glazies, for it was like the Gulliver and Plechos of Ludwig van himself, what they call a bust, a like stone vesh with stone long hair and blind glazies and the big flowy cravat. I was off for that right away, saying, "Well, how lovely, and all for me." But ittying towards it with my glazies like full on it and my greedy rooker held out, I did not see the milk saucers on the floor, and into one I went and sort of lost balance. "Whoops," I said, trying to steady, but this old petitza had come up behind me very sly, and with great scorriness for her age, and then she went crack, crack on my Gulliver with her bit of a stick. So I found myself on my rookers and knees, trying to get up and saying, "Naughty, naughty, naughty," and then she was going crack, crack again, saying, "Wretched, little, slummy, bedbug, breaking into real people's houses." I didn't like this crack, crack, Egra. So I grasped hold of one end of her stick as it came down again, and then she lost her balance and was trying to steady herself against the table. But then the tablecloth came off with a milk jug and a milk bottle going all drunk, then scattering white splosh in all directions. Then she was down on the floor, grunting, going, "Blast you, boy, you shall suffer." Now, all the cats were getting spoogey and running and jumping in a like cat panic, and some were blaming each other, hitting out cat tolchocks with the old lapper and ptah and grrr and quack. I got onto my nogas, and there was this nasty, vindictive, starry Forello with her wattles a-shake and grunting as she like tried to lever herself up from the floor. So I gave her a Malenki fair kick in the litso, and she didn't like that, crying, "Wah!" And you could vidy her veiny, mottled litso going purple-whurple where I'd landed the old noga. As I stepped back from the kick, I must have, like, trod on the tail of one of these dratsing, creeching pusspots, because I slooshied a gromky, "Wah!" and found that, like, fur and teeth and claws had, like, fastened themselves round my leg. And there I was, cursing away and trying to shake it off, holding this silver Malenki statue in one rooker and trying to climb over this old petitza on the floor to reach lovely Ludwig van in frowning like stone. And then I was into another saucer brimful of creamy maloko and near went flying again. The whole vesh, really a very humorous one if you could imagine it, slew chatting to some other vec and not to your humble narrator. And then the starry petitza on the floor reached over all the dratsing yowling pusscat and grabbed at my noga, still going wah at me, and my balance being a bit gone, I went really crash this time onto sploshing Maloko and skriking Koshkas, and the old Forella started to fist me on the litzo, both of us being on the floor, creeching, thrash him, beat him, pull out his fingernails, the poisonous young beetle, addressing her puss cats only, and then, as if like obeying the starry old petitza, a couple of Koshkas got onto me and started scratching like Bazoomni. So then I got real Bazoomni myself, brothers, and I hit out at them. But this babushka said, "Toad, don't touch my kitties," and I scratched my litzo. So then I creached, "You filthy old sumka," and upped with the little Malenki like silver statue and cracked her a fine fair tolchok on the gulliver, and that shut her up real horror show and lovely. Now, as I got up from the floor among all the cracking cots and koshkas, what should I slushy but the shoom of the old police auto siren in the distance? And it dawned on me, Scorry, that the old Forella of the Pusscat had been on the phone to the Millicents when I thought she'd been gavereating to the Mewlers and Mowlers, her having got her suspicions, Scorry, on the boil when I'd rung the old Zvonok pretending for help. So now, slushying this fearsome shoom of the Rosvan, I belted for the front door and had a rabbiting time undoing all the locks and chains and bolts and other protective feshes. Then I got it open, and who should be on the doorstep but old Dim, me just being able to vidy the other two of my so-called droogs belting off. "Away," I creeched to Dim, "the Rosses are coming." Dim said, "You stay to meet them, ha ha ha." And then I vidied that he had his Uzi out. And then he upped with it, and it snaked, whoosh, and he chained me, gentle and artistic, like on the glass lids, me just closing them up in time. Then I was howling around, trying to viddy with this howling great pain, and Dim said, "I don't like you should do what you done, old droogie. Not right it wasn't to get onto me like the way you done, brat." And then I could slushy his bolshy, lumpy boots beating off, him going, "huh, huh, huh," into the darkmans, and it was only about 7 seconds after that I slushied the Millicent van draw up with a filthy great dropping siren howl like some Bazoomni animal snuffing it. I was howling too and like yawing about, and I banged my gulliver smack on the hall wall, my glazies being tight shut and the juice astream from them. Very agonising. So there I was, like, groping in the hallway as the Millicents arrived. I couldn't viddy them, of course, but I could slushy and damn near smell the von of the bastards, and soon I could feel the bastards as they got rough and did the old twist-arm act, carrying me out. I could also slushy one Millicent galos saying from, like, the room I'd come out of with all the cots and koshkas in it, "She's been nastily knocked, but she's breathing." And there was loud mewing all the time. "A real pleasure, this is," I heard another Millicent galos say as I was tolchocked very rough and Scorry into the auto. "Little Alex, all to our own selves." I creeched out, "I'm blind, bog, bust and bleed you, you grasny bastards." "Language, language," like smecked a galos, and then I got a, like, backhand tolchok with some ringy rooker or other full on the rot. I said, "Bog murder you, you vonny stinking bratchneys. Where are the others? Where are my stinking traitorous droogs? One of my cursed grasny bratties chained me on the glazies. Get them before they get away. It was all their idea, brothers. They, like, forced me to do it. I'm innocent. Bog butcher you." By this time, they were all having, like, a good smack at me with the height of like callousness, and they'd toll-chocked me into the back of the auto, but I still kept on about these so-called droogs of mine, and then I vidded it would be no good because they'd all be back now in the snug of the Duke of New York, forcing black and suds and double Scotchmen down the unprotesting gorlos of those stinking starry ptitzers, and they saying, "Thanks, lads. God bless you, boys. Been here all the time, you have, lads. Not been out of our sight, you haven't." All the time, we were sirening off to the Roz shop, me being wedged between two Millicents and being given the odd thump and malenki toll chop by these smecking bullies. Then I found I could open up my glaslids a malenki bit and viddy light through all tiers a kind of a streamy city going by, all the lights like having run into one another. I could viddy now through smarting glazzies these two smecking Millicents at the back with me and the thin-necked driver and the fat-necked bastard next to him, this one having a sarky-like govery at me saying, "Well, Alex boy, we all look forward to a pleasant evening together, don't we not?" I said, "How do you know my name, you stinking vonny bully? May Bog blast you to hell, Grasny Brachny as you are, you sod." So they all had a smack at that. And I had my uko like twisted by one of these stinking Millicents at the back with me. The fat-necked knot driver said, "Everybody knows little Alex and his droogs. Quite a famous young boy our Alex has become." "It's those others," I creeched, "Georgie and Dim and Pete. No droogs of mine, the bastards." "Well," said the fat neck, "you've got the evening in front of you to tell the whole story of the daring exploits of those young gentlemen and how they led poor little innocent Alex astray." Then there was the shoom of another light police siren passing this auto but going the other way. "Is that for those bastards?" I said. "Are they being picked up by you bastards?" "That," said Fatneck, "is an ambulance, doubtless for your old lady victim, you ghastly, wretched scoundrel." "It was all their fault," I creeched, blinking my smarting glazzies. "The bastards will be peeting away in the Duke of New York. Pick them up, blast you, you vonny sods." And then there was more smecking and another malenki toll-chock, oh my brothers, on my poor smarting rot. And then we arrived at the stinking Roz shop, and they helped me get out of the auto with kicks and pulls, and they toll-chocked me up the steps, and I knew I was going to get nothing like fair play from these stinking Grasny Brachnys. Bog blast them. 7. They dragged me into this very bright-lit, whitewashed cantora, and it had a strong von that was a mixture of, like, sick and lavatories and beery rots and disinfectant, all coming from the barry places nearby. You could hear some of the plennies in their cells cursing and singing, and I fancied I could slushy one, belting out, "And I will go back to my darling, when you, my darling, are gone." But there were the glosses of Millicents telling them to shut it, and you could even slushy the zvook of like someone being toll-chocked, real horror show, and going, "Ah!" And it was like the gloss of a drunken starry petitzer, not a man. With me in this cantora were four Millicents, all having a good loud peat of chai, a big pot of it being on the table, and they sucking and belching away over their dirty, bolshy mugs. They didn't offer me any. All that they gave me, my brothers, was a crappy, starry mirror to look into, and indeed, I was not your handsome young narrator any longer, but a real strack of a sight, my rot swollen, and my glazzies all red, and my nose bumped a bit also. They all had a real horror show smeck when they vidded my light dismay, and one of them said, "Love's young nightmare, like." And then a top Millicent came in with like stars on his plechos to show he was high, 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 and he vidded me and said, "Hmm." So then they started,
I said. I won't say one single solitary slow vote unless I have my lawyer here. I know the law, you bastards.
Of course, they all had a good grumpy smack at that, and the Stella top Millicent said, Righty right, boys. We'll start off by showing him that we know the law too, but that knowing the law isn't everything. He had a light gentleman's galosh and spoke in a very weary sort of a way, and he nodded with a light droogy smile at one very big fat bastard. This big fat bastard took off his tunic, and you could vidy he had a real big starry pot on him. Then he came up to me, not too scorry, and I could get the von of the milky chai he'd been peating when he opened his rot in a, like, very tired, leery grin at me. He was not too well shaved for a roz, and you could vidy like patches of dried sweat on his shirt under the arms, and you could get this von of, like, earwax from him as he came close. Then he clenched his stinking red rooker and let me have it right in the belly, which was unfair, and all the other Millicents smacked their Gullivers off at that, except the top one, and he kept on with this weary, like, bored grin. I had to lean against the whitewashed wall so that all the white got onto my platties, trying to drag the old breath back, and in great agony, and then I wanted to sick up the gluey pie I'd had before the start of the evening, but I couldn't stand that sort of vesh, sicking all over the floor, so I held it back. Then I saw that this fatty bruise boy was turning to his Millicent droogs to have a real horror show smack at what he'd done. So I raised my right noga, and before they could creature him to watch out, I'd kicked him smart and lovely on the shin, and he creached murder hopping around. But after that, they all had a turn, bouncing me from one to the other like some very weary, bloody ball, oh my brothers, and fisting me in the yarbles and the rot and the belly and dealing out kicks. And then, at last, I had to sick up on the floor, and like some real bazoomny vec, I even said, Sorry, brothers, that was not the right thing at all. Sorry, sorry, sorry. But they handed me starry bits of gazetta and made me wipe it. And then they made me mate with the sawdust. And then they said, almost like dear old droogs, that I was to sit down and we'd all have a quiet like govery. And then PR Deltoid came in to have a viddy, his office being in the same building, looking very tired and grasny, to say, So it's happened, Alex boy, yes. Just as I thought it would, dear, 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 yes. Then he turned to the Millicents to say, Evening, Inspector, evening, Sergeant, evening, evening all. Well, this is the end of the line for me, yes. Dear, dear, this boy does look messy, doesn't he? Just look at the state of him. Violence makes violence, said the top Millicent in a very holy-type gloss. He resisted his lawful arresters. End of the line, yes, said PR Deltoid again. He looked at me with very cold glazies, like I had become a thing and was no more a bleeding, very tired, battered Chelovec. I suppose I'll have to be in court tomorrow.
It wasn't me, brother, sir, I said, a malenky bit weepy. Speak up for me, sir, for I'm not so bad. I was led on by the treachery of the others, sir.
Sings like a linnet, said the top Roz, sneery. Sings the roof off lovely, he does that. I'll speak, said cold PR Deltoid. I'll be there tomorrow. Don't worry. If you'd like to give him a bash in the chops, sir, said the top Millicent, don't mind us. We'll hold him down. He must be another great disappointment to you. PR Deltoid then did something I never thought any man like him who was supposed to turn us baddie wads into real horror show malchicks would do, especially with all those Rozzies around. He came a bit nearer and he spat. He spat.
He spat full in my litzo, and then wiped his wet, spitty rot with the back of his rooker. And I wiped and wiped and wiped my spat-on litzo with my bloody tashtuk, saying, "Thank you, sir, thank you very much, sir. That was very kind of you, sir, thank you." And then P.R. Deltoid walked out without another slovo. The Millicents now got down to making this long statement for me to sign, and I thought to myself, hell and blast you all. If all you bastards are on the side of the good, then I'm glad I belong to the other shop. "All right," I said to them, "you Grasny Brachneys as you are, you Vonny sods, take it, take the lot. I'm not going to crawl around on my brooko anymore, you Mersgy gets. Where do you want it taken from, you Cali vonning animals? From my last corrective? Horror show, here it is then." So I gave it to them. And I had this shorthand Millicent, a very quiet and scared type chelovet, no real roz at all, covering page after page after page after. I gave them the ultraviolence, the crash sting, the dratsing, the old in-out, in-out, the lot, right up to this night's vesh with the Bugatti starry petitza with the mewing cots and koshkas. And I made sure my so-called droogs were in it, right up to the sheer. When I'd got through the lot, the shorthand Millicent looked a bit faint, poor old Vec. The top Roz said to him, in a kind-type gloss, "Right, son. You go off and get a nice cup of chai for yourself, and then type up all that filth and rottenness out with a clothes peg on your nose, 3 copies. Then they can be brought to our handsome young friend here for signature. And you," he said to me, "can now be shown to your bridal suite with running water and all conveniences. All right." In this weary gloss to 2 of the real tough Rosses, "take him away." So I was kicked and punched and bullied off to the cells and put in with about 10 or 12 other plennies, a lot of them drunk. They were real ooze-hasney animal-type Vex among them, one with his nose all ate away and his rot open like a big black hole, one that was lying on the floor snoring away and all like slime dribbling all the time out of his rot, and one that had like done all cowl in his pantalones. Then there were 2 like queer ones who both took a fancy to me, and one of them made a jump onto my back and I had a real nasty bit of dratsing with him, and the von on him like of meth and cheap scent made me want to sick again, only my belly was empty now, oh my brothers. Then the other queer one started putting his rookers onto me, and then there was a snarling bit of dratsing between these 2, both of them wanting to get at my plot. The shoom became very loud so that a couple of Millicents came along and cracked into these 2 with like truncheons so that both sat quiet then, looking like into space. And there was the old crovy going drip, drip, drip down the litzo of one of them. There were bunks in this cell, but all filled. I climbed up to the top one of one tier of bunks, there being 4 in a tier, and there was a starry, drunken Vex snoring away, most probably heaved up there to the top by the Millicents. Anyway, I heaved him down again, him not being all that heavy, and he collapsed on top of a fat, drunk Chelovec on the floor, and both woke and started creeching and punching pathetic at each other. So I lay down on this vonny bed, my brothers, and went to very tired and exhausted and hurt sleep. But it was not really like sleep. It was like passing out to another, better world. And in this other, better world, oh my brothers, I was in like a big field with all flowers and trees, and there was a like goat with a man's litzo playing away on a like flute. And then there rose like the sun Ludwig van himself with thundery litzo and cravat and wild windy veloce. And then I heard the 9th, last movement, with the slovos all a bit mixed up like they knew themselves they had to be mixed up, this being a dream. Boy, thou uproarious shark of heaven, slaughter of Elysium, hearts on fire, aroused and raptured. We will toll-chock you on the rot and kick your Grasny Vorny bum. But the tune was right, as I knew when I was being woke up 2 or 10 minutes or 20 hours or days or years later, my watch having been taken away. There was a Millicent like miles and miles down below, and he was prodding at me with a long stick with a spike on the end, saying, "Wake up, son, wake up, my beauty, wait to real trouble." I said, "Why? Who? Where? What is it?" And the tune of the Joy Ode in the Ninth was singing away real lovely and horror show within. The Millicent said, "Come down and find out, there's some real lovely news for you, my son." So I scrambled down, very stiff and sore, and not like real awake, and this Roz, who had a strong von of cheese and onions on him, pushed me out of the filthy snoring cell, and then along corridors, and all the time the old tune Joy Thou Glorious Spark of Heaven was sparking away within. Then we came to a very neat light cantora with typewriters and flowers on the desks, and at the light chief desk the top Millicent was sitting, looking very serious, and fixing a light very cold glazzy on my sleepy litzo. I said, "Well, well, well, what makes, Bratty, what gives this fine bright middle of the notchy?" He said, "I'll give you just 10 seconds to wipe that stupid grin off of your face, then I want you to listen." "Well, what?" I said, smicking. "Are you not satisfied with beating me near to death, and having me spat upon, and making me confess to crimes for hours on end, and then shoving me among Bazoomneys and Vonny perverts in that Grasny cell? Have you some new torture for me, you Bratchney?" "It'll be your own torture," he said, serious. "I hope to God it'll torture you to madness." And then, before he told me, I knew what it was. The old Petitza, who had had all the cots and koshkas, had passed on to a better world in one of the city hospitals. I'd cracked her a bit too hard, like. Well, well, that was everything. I thought of all those cots and koshkas mewing for Maloko and getting none, not any more from their starry forella of a mistress. That was everything. I'd done the lot now. And me, still only 15. Part 2. 1. What's it going to be then, eh? I take it up now, and this is the real weepy and light tragic part of the story beginning, my brothers and only friends, in Stadger, State Jail, that is, number 84F. You will have little desire to slushy all the Cali and horrible razzcaz of the shock that sent my dad beating his bruised and crovy rookers against unfair light bog in his heaven, and my mum squaring her rot for ow, ow, in her mother's grief at her only child and son of her bosom, like letting everybody down, real horror show. Then there was the starry, very grim magistrate in the lower court, gover-eating some very hard slovos against your friend and humble narrator, after all the Cali and Grasny slander spat forth by P.R. Deltoid and the Rossies, bog blast them. Then there was being remanded in filthy custody among Vonny perverts and prestupniks. Then there was the trial in the higher court with judges and a jury and some very, very nasty slovos indeed gover-eated in a very, like, solemn way, and then guilty. And my mum boo-hoo-hooing when they said, 14 years, oh my brothers. So here I was now, 2 years just to the day of being kicked and clanged into Stadger 84F, dressed in the height of prison fashion, which was a one-piece suit of a very filthy light cow colour, and the number sewn on the groody part just above the old TikToker and on the back as well, so that going and coming, I was 6655321, and not your little droog Alex, not no longer. What's it going to be then, eh? It had not been like edifying, indeed it had not, being in this Grasny hellhole and like human zoo for 2 years, being kicked and toll-chocked by brutal bully warders and meeting Vonnie Leering-like criminals, some of them real perverts and ready to dribble all over a luscious young Malchick like your storyteller. And there was having to rabbit in the workshop at making matchboxes and itty round and round and round the yard for like exercise, and in the evenings, sometimes some starry prof-type vet would give a talk on beetles or the Milky Way or the glorious wonders of the snowflake, and I had a good smack at this last one because it reminded me of that time of the toll-chocking and sheer vandalism with that dead coming from the public biblio on a winter's night when my droogs were still not traitors and when I was like happy and free. Of these droogs, I had slooshied but one thing, and that was one day when my P and M came to visit, and I was told that Georgie was dead. Yes, dead, my brothers. Dead as a bit of dog cal on the road. Georgie had led the other two into a like very rich Chelovec's house, and there they had kicked and toll-chocked the owner on the floor, and then Georgie had started to raz-rez the cushions and curtains, and then old Dim had cracked at some very precious ornaments like statues and so on, and this rich, beat-up Chelovec had raged like real Bazoomney and gone for them all with a very heavy iron bar. His being all razdraz had given him like gigantic strength, and Dim and Pete had got out through the window, but Georgie had tripped on the carpet and bought this terrific swinging iron bar crack and splooge on the Gulliver. And that was the end of traitorous Georgie. The starry murderer had got off with self-defence, as was really right and proper. Georgie being killed, though it was more than 1 year after me being caught by the Millicents, it all seemed right and proper and like fate. What's it going to be then, eh? I was in the Wing Chapel, it being Sunday morning, and the prison Charlie was gover-eating the word of the Lord, and it was my rabbit to play the starry stereo, putting on solemn music before and after and in the middle too, where hymns were sung. I was at the back of the Wing Chapel, there were four altogether in stature 84F, near where the warders or chassos were standing with their rifles and their dirty, bolshy, blue, brutal jowls, and I could viddy all the plennies sitting down, slooshying the slovo of the Lord in their horrible cow-coloured prison platties, and a sort of filthy von rose from them. Not like real unwashed, not grazzy, but like a special, real stinking von which you only got with the criminal types, my brothers. A like dusty, greasy, hopeless sort of a von. And I was thinking that perhaps I had this von too, having become a real plenty myself, though still very young. So it was very important to me, oh my brothers, to get out of this stinking Grasny zoo as soon as I could. And as you will viddy, if you keep reading on, it was not long before I did. What's it going to be then, eh? Said the prison Charlie for the third raz. Is it going to be in and out and in and out of institutions like this, though more in and out for most of you? Or are you going to attend to the divine word and realize the punishments that await the unrepentant sinner in the next world as well as in this? A lot of blasted idiots you are, most of you, selling your birthright for a saucer of cold porridge. The thrill of theft, of violence, the urge to live easy, is it worth it? When we have undeniable proof, yes, yes, incontrovertible evidence that hell exists. I know, my friends, I have been informed in visions that there is a place darker than any prison, hotter than any flame of human fire, where souls of unrepentant criminal sinners like yourselves, and don't leer at me, damn you, don't laugh, like yourselves, I say, scream in endless and intolerable agony, their noses choked with the smell of their filth, their mouths crammed with burning ordure, their skin peeling and rotting, a fireball spinning in their screaming guts. Yes, 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 I know.
At this point, brothers, a plenty somewhere or other near the back row let out a shoom of lip music. And then the brutal chassos were on the job right away, rushing real scurry to what they thought was the scene of the shoom, then hitting out nasty and delivering toll chocks left and right. Then they picked out one poor trembling plenty, very thin and malenky and starry too, and dragged him off, but all the time he kept creeching, "It wasn't me, it was him, see," but that made no difference. He was toll-chocked real nasty and then dragged out of the wing chapel, creeching his Gulliver off.
"No," said the prison Charlie. "Listen to the word of the Lord."
Then he picked up the big book and flipped over the pages, keeping on wetting his fingers to do this by licking them. Splurge, splurge. He was a bolshy, great, burly bastard with a very red litso. But he was very fond of myself, me being young, and also now very interested in the big book. It had been arranged as part of my, like, further education to read in the book and even have music on the chapel stereo while I was reading, oh, my brothers. And that was real horror show. They would, like, lock me in and let me slushy holy music by J.S. Bach and G.F. Handel, and I would read of these starry Yahudis toll-chocking each other and then peating their Hebrew vino and getting onto the bed with their wives like handmaidens. Real horror show. That kept me going, brothers. I didn't so much cope at the later part of the book, which is more like all preachy gover-eating than fighting and the old in-out. But one day, the Charles said to me, squeezing me like tight with his bolshy, beefy rooker,
"Ah, 6655321, think on the divine suffering, meditate on that, my boy."
And all the time, he had this rich Manny Von of Scotch on him, and then he went off to his little cantora to peat some more. So I read all about the scourging and the crowning with thorns and then the crossfesh and all that cow, and I vidded better that there was something in it. While the stereo played bits of lovely Bach, I closed my glazies and vidded myself helping in and even taking charge of the toll-chocking and the nailing in, being dressed in a light toga that was the height of Roman fashion. So, being in Stager 84F was not all that wasted, and the governor himself was very pleased to hear that I had taken to, like, religion, and that was where I had my hopes. This Sunday morning, the Charlie read out from the book about Chelevex who slooshied the Slovo and didn't take a blind bit, being like a domey built upon sand, and then the rain came splash, and the old boom boom cracked the sky, and that was the end of that domey. But I thought that only a very dim vec would build his domey upon sand, and a right lot of real sneering droogs and nasty neighbours a vec like that would have them not telling him how dim he was doing that sort of building. Then the Charles creeched, "Right, you lot, we'll end with hymn number 435 in the prisoner's hymnal." Then there was a crash and plop and a wish 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 while the plennies picked up and dropped and lick-turned the pages of their grazzy malenki handbooks, and the bully fierce warders creeched, "Stop talking there, bastards! I'm watching you, 920537! Of course, I had the disc ready on the stereo, and then I let the simple music for organ only come belting out with a growl. Then the plennies started to sing real horrible. "Weak tea are we, new brood, but stirring make all strong. We eat no angel's food. Our times of trial are long. They sort of howled and wept, these stupid Slovos, with the Charlie, like, whipping them on with, "Louder, damn you, sing up!" And the warders creeching, "Just you wait, 7749222, and one on the turnip coming up for you, filth." Then it was all over, and the Charlie said, "May the Holy Trinity keep you always and make you good. Amen." And the shamble out began to a nice choice bit of Symphony No. 2 by Adrian Zweigselber, chosen by your humble narrator, oh my brothers. What a lot they were, I thought, as I stood there by the Starry Chapel stereo, videoing them all shuffle out, going brr, like animals, and up your piping with their grasny fingers at me, because it looked like I was very special favoured. When the last one had slouched out, his rookers hanging like an ape, and the one warder left giving him a fair loud toll chock on the back of the gulliver, and when I had turned off the stereo, the Charlie came up to me, puffing away at a cancer, still in his starry bogman's platties, all lacy and white like a Dvotchka's. He said, "Thank you as always, little 6655321, and what news have you got for me today?" The idea was, I knew, that this Charlie was after becoming a very great holy Chelovec in the world of prison religion, and he wanted a real horror show testimonial from the governor, so he would go and govereat quietly to the governor now and then about what dark plots were brewing among the plennies, and he would get a lot of this cow from me. A lot of it would be all, like, made up, but some of it would be true. Like, for instance, the time it had come through to our call on the water pipes, knock, knock, knocky, knock, 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 that big Harriman was going to break. He was going to toll-chock the warder at slop time and get out in the warder's platties. Then there was going to be a big throwing about of the horrible pishka we got in the dining hall, and I knew about that and told. Then the Charlie passed it on and was complimented, like, by the governor for his public spirit and keen ear. So this time, I said, and this was not true, "Well, sir, it has come through on the pipes that a consignment of cocaine has arrived by irregular means, and that a cell somewhere along Tier 5 is to be the centre of distribution." I made all that up as I went along, like I made up so many of these stories, but the prison Charlie was very grateful, saying, "Good, good, good, I shall pass that on to himself," this being what he called the governor. Then I said, "Sir, I have done my best, have I not?" I always used my very polite gentleman's gloss govereating with those at the top. "I've tried, sir, haven't I?" "I think," said the Charlie, "that on the whole you have, 6655321. You've been very helpful, and I consider shown a genuine desire to reform. You will, if you continue in this manner, earn your remission with no trouble at all." "But, sir," I said, "how about this new thing they're talking about? How about this new, like, treatment that gets you out of prison in no time at all and makes sure that you never get back in again?" "Oh," he said, very, like, wary. "Where did you hear this? Who's been telling you these things?" "These things get around, sir," I said. "Two warders talk, as it might be, and somebody can't help hearing what they say, and then somebody picks up a scrap of newspaper in the workshops, and the newspaper says all about it." "How about you putting me in for this thing, sir, if I may make so bold as to make the suggestion?" You could vidy him thinking about that, while he puffed away at his cancer, wondering how much to say to me about what he knew about this vesh I'd mentioned. Then he said, "I take it you're referring to Ludovico's technique." He was still very wary. "I don't know what it's called, sir," I said. "All I know is that it gets you out quickly and makes sure that you don't get in again." "That is so," he said, his eyebrows like all beetling while he looked down at me. "That is quite so, 6655321. Of course, It's only in the experimental stage at the moment. It's very simple, but very drastic.
But it's being used here, isn't it, sir? I said. Those new, like, white buildings by the south wall, sir? We've watched those being built, sir, when we've been doing our exercise.
It's not been used yet, he said. Not in this prison, 6655321. Himself has grave doubts about it. I must confess, I share those doubts. The question is whether such a technique can really make a man good. Goodness comes from within, 6655321. Goodness is something chosen. When a man cannot choose, he ceases to be a man.
He would have gone on with a lot more of this, Cal, but we could slushy the next lot of plennies marching clank, clank down the iron stairs to come for their bit of religion. He said,
we'll have a little chat about this some other time. Now, you'd better start the voluntary.
So I went over to the Starry Stereo and put on J.S. Bach's Vatschet Auf choral prelude, and in these Grasny, Vonny, bastard criminals and perverts came, shambling like a lot of broke-down apes, the warders or chassos like barking at them and lashing them. And soon the prison Charlie was asking them, what's it going to be then, eh? And that's where you came in. We had four of these lomticks of light prison religion that morning, but the Charles said no more to me about this Ludovico's technique, whatever it was, oh my brothers. When I'd finished my rabbit with the stereo, he just govereted a few slovos of thanks, and then I was privadeted back to the cell on Tier 6, which was my very vonny and crammed home. The chasso was not really too bad of a vec, and he did not toll chock or kick me in when he'd opened up. He just said, here we are, sonny, back to the old water hole. And there I was with my new type droogs, all very criminal, but bog be praised, not given to perversions of the body. There was Zofar on his bunk, a very thin and brown vec who went on and on and on in his light cancery galos so that nobody bothered to slushy. What he was saying now, like to nobody, was, at that time you couldn't get hold of a podgy, whatever that was, brothers, not if you was to hand over 10 million Archibalds. So what do? I goes to, down to Turkey and says, I've got this brogue on that morrow, see? And what can he do? It was all this very old-time real criminal slang he spoke. Also, there was Wall, who had only one glazzy, and he was tearing bits of his toenails off in honour of Sunday. Also, there was Big Jew, a very fat, sweaty vet lying flat on his bunk like dead. In addition, there was Jojon and the Doctor. Jojon was very mean and keen and wiry and had specialised in, like, sexual assault. And the Doctor had pretended to be able to cure Sif and Gon and Gleet, but he'd only injected water. Also, he'd killed off two Dvotchkas instead, like he'd promised, of getting rid of their unwanted loads for them. They were a terrible Grasny lot, really, and I didn't enjoy being with them, oh my brothers, any more than you do now, but it won't be for much longer. Now, what I want you to know is that this cell was intended for only three when it was built, but there were six of us in there, all jammed together, sweaty and tight. And that was the state of all the cells in all the prisons in those days, brothers, and a dirty Cali disgrace it was, there not being decent room for a Chelovec to stretch his limbs. And you will hardly believe what I say now, which is that on this Sunday, they brosseted in another plenty. Yes, we had had a horrible pishka of dumplings and Vonny stew and were smoking a quiet cancer each on our bunks when this vec was thrown into our midst. He was a chinny, starry vec, and it was him who started creeching complaints before we even had a chance to vidy the position. He tried to, like, shake the bars, creeching, I demand my sodding rights. This one's full up. It's a bleeding imposition. That's what it is. But one of the chassos came back to say that he had to make the best of it and share a bunk with whoever would let him. Otherwise, it would have to be the floor.
And, said the warder, it's going to get worse, not better. A right dirty criminal world you lot are trying to build.
2.
Well, it was the letting in of this new Chelovic that was really the start of my getting out of the old Stadger, for he was such a nasty, quarrelsome type of plenty, with a very dirty mind and filthy intentions, that trouble natchinated that very same day. He was also very boastful, and started to make with a very sneery litzo at us all, and a loud, proud galos. He made out that he was the only real horror show prestupnik in the whole zoo, going on that he'd done this and done the other and killed 10 Rozzies with one crack of his rooker and all that cow. But nobody was very impressed, oh my brothers. So then he started on me being the youngest there, trying to say that as the youngest, I ought to be the one to zaznoot on the floor and not him. But all the others were for me, creeching, "Leave him alone, you grazny bratchy," and then he began the old whine about how nobody loved him. So that same notchy, I woke up to find this horrible plenty actually lying with me on my bunk, which was on the bottom of the three tier, and also very narrow, and he was gover-eating dirty like love slovos and stroking away. So then I got real bazoomny and lashed out, though I could not vidy all that horror show, there being only this malenky little red light outside on the landing. But I knew it was this one, the vonny bastard. And then when the trouble really got underway and the lights were turned on and I could vidy his horrible litzo with all crovy dripping from his rot where I'd hit out with my clawing rooker. What slew chatted then, of course, was that my cellmate woke up and started to join in, toll-chocking a bit wild in the near dark, and the shoom seemed to wake up the whole tier so that you could slushy a lot of creeching and banging about with tin mugs on the wall as though all the plennies in all the cells thought a big break was about to commence, oh my brothers. So then the lights came on and the chattos came along in their shirts and trousers and caps, waving big sticks. We could vidy each other's flushed litzos and the shaking of fisty rookers, and there was a lot of creeching and cursing. Then I put in my complaint, and every chasso said it was probably your humble narrator, brothers, that started it all anyway, me having no mark of a scratch on me, but this horrible plenty dripping red crovy from the rot where I'd got him with my clawing rooker. That made me real bazoomly. I said I would not sleep another notchy in that cell if the prison authorities were going to allow horrible, vonny, stinking, perverted prestupniks to leap on my plot when I was in no position to defend myself being asleep. "Wait till the morning," they said. "Is it a private room with bath and television that your honour requires? Well, all that will be seen to in the morning, but for the present, little droog, get your bleeding Gulliver down on your straw-filled padushka and let's have no more trouble from anyone. Right. Then off they went with stern warnings for all. Then soon after, the lights went out. And then I said I would sit up all the rest of the notchy, saying first to this horrible prestupnik, "Go on, get on my bunk if you wish it. I fancy it no longer. You have made it filthy and cally with your horrible vonny plot lying on it already." But then the others joined in. Big Jew said, still sweating from the bit of a bitfer we'd had in the dark, "Not having that, we're not, brothers. Don't give in to the squirt." So this new one said, "Crash your dermot, yid," meaning to shut up, but it was very insulting. So then Big Jew got ready to launch a tolchok. The doctor said, "Come on, gentlemen, we don't want any trouble, do we?" in his very high-class galos. But this new prestupnik was really asking for it. You could vidy that he thought he was a very big Bolshevik and it was beneath his dignity to be sharing a cell with six and having to sleep on the floor till I made this gesture at him. In his sneery way, he tried to take off the doctor, saying, "Oh, you want no more trouble, is that it, Archibalds?" So, Joe John, mean and keen and wiry, says, "If we can't have sleep, let's have some education. Our new friend here had better be taught a lesson." Although he, like, specialised in sexual assault, he had a nice way of gover eating, quiet and, like, precise. So, the new Plenny sneered, "Kishin, koshin, koosh, you little terror." So then it all really started, but in a queer, like, gentle way, with nobody raising his gloss much. The new Plenny creached a Malenki bit at first, but then Wall fisted his rot while Big Jew held him up against the bars so that he could be vidded in the Malenki red light from the landing, and he just went, "Oh, ah, ah." He was not a very strong type of feck, being very feeble in his trying to toll-chock back, and I suppose he made up for this by being shoomy in the gloss and very boastful. Anyway, seeing the old crovy flow red in the red light, I felt the old joy like rising up in my quiches, and I said, "Leave him to me, go on, let me have him now, brothers." So, Big Jew said, "Yes, yes, boys, that's fair. Losh him then, Alex." So they all stood around while I cracked at this prestupnik in the near dark. I fisted him all over, dancing about with my boots on, though unlaced, and then I tripped him and he went crash, crash onto the floor. I gave him one real horror show kick on the gulliver and he went, "Ah," and then he sort of snorted off to, like, sleep. And the doctor said, "Very well, I think that will be enough of a lesson." Squinting to viddy this downed and beaten-up veck on the floor, let him dream, perhaps, about being a better boy in the future. So, we all climbed back onto our bunks, being very tired now. What I dreamt of, oh my brothers, was of being in some very big orchestra, hundreds and hundreds strong, and the conductor was like a mixture of Ludwig van and G.F. Handel, looking very deaf and blind and weary of the world. I was with the wind instruments, but what I was playing was like a white pinky bassoon made of flesh and growing out of my plot, right in the middle of my belly. And when I blew into it, I had to smack very loud because it, like, tickled. And then Ludwig van G.F. got very razdraz and bazoomny. Then he came right up to my litzo and creached loud in my uko, and then I woke up, like, sweating. Of course, what the loud shoom really was the prison buzzer going brrr, brrr, brrr. It was winter morning, and my glazies were all cally with sleep clue, and when I opened them, they were very sore in the electric light that had been switched on all over the zoo. Then I looked down and vidded this new prestupnik lying on the floor, very bloody and bruisey and still out, out, out. Then I remembered about last night and that made me smack a bit. But when I got off the bunk and moved him with my bare noga, there was a feel of like stiff coldness, so I went over to the doctor's bunk and shook him, him always being very slow at waking up in the morning, but he was off his bunk scorry enough this time, and so were the others, except for Wall, who slept like dead meat. "Very unfortunate," the doctor said. "A heart attack, that's what it must have been." Then he said, looking round at us all, "You really shouldn't have gone for him like that. It was most ill-advised, really." Joe John said, "Come, come, Doc, you weren't all that backward yourself in giving him a sly bit of fist." Then Big Jew turned on me, saying, "Alex, you were too impetuous. That last kick was a very, very nasty one." I began to get razdraz about this and said, "Who started it, eh? I only got in at the end, didn't I?" I pointed at Joe John and said, "It was your idea." Wall snored a bit loud, so I said, "Wake that funny Brachny up. It was him that kept on at his rot while Big Jew here had him up against the bars." The doctor said, "Nobody will deny having a gentle little hit at the man to teach him a lesson, so to speak, but it's apparent that you, my dear boy, with the forcefulness and, shall I say, heedlessness of youth, dealt him the coup de grace. It's a great pity." "Traitors," I said, "traitors and liars." Because I could vidy that it was all like before, 2 years before, when my so-called droogs had left me to the brutal rookers of the Millicents. "There was no trust," anywhere in the world, oh my brothers, the way I could see it. And Jojon went and woke up Wall, and Wall was only too ready to swear that it was your humble narrator that had done the real dirty Tolchocking and brutality. When the Chassos came along, and then the Chief Chasso, and then the Governor himself, all these cell droogs of mine were very shoomy with tales of what I'd done to Ubivat, this worthless pervert whose crovy-covered plot lay sack-like on the floor. That was a very queer day, oh my brothers. The dead plot was carried off, and then everybody in the whole prison had to stay locked up till further orders, and there was no pishka given out, not even a mug of hot chai. We just all sat there, and the warders or chassos sort of strode up and down the tier, now and then creaching, "Shut it," or "Close that hole," whenever they sluiced even a whisper from any of the cells. Then about 11 o'clock in the morning, there was a sort of, like, stiffening and excitement and, like, the von of fear spreading from outside the cell. And then we could vidi the governor and the chief chasso and some very bolshy, important-looking Cheleviks walking by real scorry, govereating like bazoomni. They seemed to walk right to the end of the tier. Then they could be slooshed walking back again, more slow this time, and you could slooshy the governor, a very sweaty, fatty, fair-haired vex, saying slovos like, "But sir," and, "Well, what can be done, sir," and so on. Then the whole lot stopped at our cell, and the chief chasso opened up. You could vidi who was the real important vec right away, very tall, and with blue glazies, and with real horror show platties on him, the most lovely suit, brothers, I had ever vidied, absolutely, in the height of fashion. He just sort of looked right through us, poor Plenny, saying in a very beautiful, real educated gloss, "The government cannot be concerned any longer with outmoded penological theories. Cram criminals together and see what happens. You get concentrated criminality, crime in the midst of punishment. Soon we may be needing all our prison space for political offenders." I didn't pony this at all, brothers, but after all, he was not govereating to me. Then he said, "Common criminals like this unsavoury crowd." That meant me, brothers, as well as the others, who were real prestupniks and treacherous with it, can best be dealt with on a purely curative basis. Kill the criminal reflex, that's all. Full implementation in a year's time. Punishment means nothing to them, you can see that. They enjoy their so-called punishment. They start murdering each other. And he turned his stern blue glazies on me. So I said, bold, "With respect, sir, I object very strongly to what you said then. I am not a common criminal, sir, and I am not unsavoury. The others may be unsavoury, but I am not." The chief chasso went all purple and creeched,
"You shut your bleeding hole, you! Don't you know who this is?"
All right, said this big vec. Then he turned to the governor and said, "You can use him as a trailblazer. He's young, bold, vicious. Brodsky will deal with him tomorrow, and you can sit in and watch Brodsky. It works all right, don't worry about that. This vicious young hoodlum will be transformed out of all recognition." And those hard Slovos, brothers, were like the beginning of my freedom.
This ends Disc 3.